All right, we're back. So welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything, the show where I, your host, Cole Brzezinski, get to sit down with folks from a myriad of fields. We got to take apart what they do, what makes them tick, and some of the challenges that they face in their day-to-day lives. So today with me, I'm sitting with Alex Hutchie. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So Alex, tell us who you are, what you do, and where you're from.
So my name is Alex Hutchie. I'm a chef apprentice, and I work with a personal chef in Seattle, Shada Bahrami. And yeah, I'm a creative consultant, so I focus a lot on helping small business owners and online founders with understanding their messaging as well as creating and producing their content.
All right. So I wanted to talk about some of the strategy that is involved in media consulting as businesses bring people like you on. So first of all, can you briefly describe what it is that you do for businesses?
Yeah, so I would say the simplified version is helping them connect with people who want to buy their services. All that goes into that is a lot of first the research, so understanding what has been working. So whether they are doing print ads, if they're doing any SEO, like really understanding where their marketing is at prior to getting into making content. And then from that, it's, you know, doing the research. So are we looking at, you know, a geographical location? Is it an online only business? Understanding the price points, what their audience might like. And then we're going to look more into like what their competitors are doing. And competition isn't a scary word. It should be really understanding what are the people that they want to be selling to already saying in the comments of these other creators, and really helping the team and the business owner kind of understand, like, here's the conversations happening now. So what a lot of times happens is that, you know, we all have hypotheses about our businesses that we think like, hey, people are going to want this. When in fact, when you do the research, you can kind of see that people want this, but they want something a little deeper, or they want something a little more custom that honestly, us as service providers, we may not have thought of. And I, for example, working with a private chef, there are times where, you know, you probably want to come home and have food just ready, and somebody else had to cook that. Now, wouldn't it be nice if all of us could just have a private chef at home who just has food ready for us? And you have to think, well, when would I purchase that? Like, when would I need someone to come to the house and cook meals if I'm maybe too busy or if I have guests in town? You know, there's different times where the need increases on a purchase versus like there's times where it's a nice to have. Now, of course, bringing people together and cooking is always a great experience. It could be celebrating a memory. It could be just sitting down for family dinner. But there's an increase for a need for it to be, I guess, more special in a way. So how does a business owner convey what that special experience is? Well, that's where the storytelling comes in. It's understanding what's something that would be a search intent. So now you're getting into like the SEO, you're getting into keywords. And then you're also talking more about like the story. Like, what was a moment where you had a very memorable dinner? Or what was a moment where you went to a great restaurant and had an amazing experience? And now imagine that happening in the home. So it's like, that's when the whole visual storytelling comes in. So as a creative consultant and being able to produce this, we have to work with like what we got, which oftentimes is an iPhone, a light, a few hours with the owner. And it's being able to see enough patterns online of what makes a good script and a good video and be able to produce that on any budget scale. So some people might come in and they'll do the investing where they hire the videographer, they have the whole production shoot. Others just want to feel comfortable being in front of the camera on their iPhone and tell their story and maybe cut a few clips from their iPhone from previous events and be able to put it together. So being able to have that range of being able to spot those patterns on like, hey, we've got enough stuff to make this, you know, content work. That's where just years of being like online studying and looking at like, you know, how did, you know, meal prep services grow from just word of mouth to now full blown dinner parties and like communities of people. Even reading like about the early days of like Nike or reading about early days of Uber, like those are all like, how did just like a city grasp this new idea? And then everybody is now doing this. And you can think of a lot of things that we probably didn't have 3 years ago that now are just like totally normal. Like we all just do this. We all have it. Mm. And that's, you know, that's the effect that you want, you know, a business or a service to have on either content or like people's buying habits, or just become somebody in the community locally that people look for and that they tell their friends about. Mm. So being able to work with people to help them develop that either skill or the aesthetic that they're going for, or just being consistent with online. That's a lot of what I really bring and help people with.
So let's talk about the consistency online aspect. One of the questions that we got a lot of was like, how often do I have to post on my social medias? Every week, every month, every day, like what is it? And when I was doing my research way back when, there wasn't a firm answer. The one thing that became very apparent was that you can't post more than 3 times a day.
True.
Because at that point, then these algorithms are going, okay, something's going on here. So from your professional experience, what is the ideal goal for a business that wants to grow their brand?
Well, I think if you've been online for a while, you kind of know how much you want to be posting. If you're just getting started, I would say definitely post that 3 times per day. Mm. Now, the reason why I'm saying post 3 times is that one, you want people who are going to stop following you to fall off. You just want them to unfollow. So then you get to the real core of your base of people. Mm. And then once you kind of have that little like, you know, fluctuating number, like, oh, I just lost a bunch of followers, don't mind it. And then you get into making the real content, because the first 100 videos are going to be trash. Everybody just come to that humble conclusion that the first 100 videos, they're going to be a little rocky. One might take off and they'll keep you going. But the first 100 are really kind of like your first like 100 yards, you know, because it's a marathon making content. And then once you get past that, I think at that point, people really start to see like, okay, I'm getting a hang of this, or they start getting better on camera, or that fear of like, oh, what is everybody going to think? It just goes away. It just numbs out at that point. And I think that's kind of the sweet spot when the whole team is like, all right, we're going to make content. We now know what we're not going to do. Mm. And that is when you really start to grow your account and start to really understand social media, because you've been on it long enough. You're making jokes in the comment. You're getting trolled. You're getting people to like, you know, you're online. Mm. And I think at that point, that's when you really start to make it fun. And that's the whole point. Social media is about having fun. And of course, there's business involved with it. But if you're not having fun with it, it's okay not to do social media. It really is. And there are still a lot of successful businesses who are not online. So, I mean, I don't think that's the thing that's going to make or break a business. I think if you want to be online, you got to play the game. If it's something that you're not really interested in, it's okay. It's okay to have, like, I would say at least 7 solid YouTube videos. Now, the reason why I'm saying 7 is that you're probably going to have the frequently asked questions that people have, plus maybe 2 others that are just like about you, about the business, about where you are. Like, I think that's like really important to have a YouTube video, because that's going to be something. If somebody sits there and watches all 7 of those videos, I think they're going to have a higher chance of buying from you. Mm-hmm. Versus if somebody watches a 7-second video, it's like, how much do you think that's going to, you know, make an impact on like people buying? Mm. And I guess to answer the question of like, how much content should you put out there? Think of it this way. If you sit down and watch a 3-hour movie, Lord of the Rings, the whole Harry Potter 7 series, how much have you talked about that with other friends? I'm like, wow, that is an amazing movie. I love this series. It's such a great film. Mm. Why? Because you just spent hours watching and consuming this. Versus, I couldn't tell you probably the reel that I saw this morning for breakfast, you know? So it's like the amount of content you need to put out there, think of it as your Hollywood movie. You need to put out at least 2 hours worth of content, whether it's shorts or long form. 2 hours is a good amount of content to have online, that if somebody were to watch that whole playlist and see you being yourself, trying to make your business work, or you're successful, or you're talking about something that you're really passionate about, I guarantee somebody's going to be like, hey, I just saw how passionate you are. I just thought you were cool. Mm. Let's work together. And I think that can work for local business. That can work for professionals trying to build their personal brand, or even just contractors, freelancers trying to figure out where their next pivot is. Use the internet to guide you on things. And that takes a lot of trust to put, you know, your hands in the trolls and the depths of the internet. Mm. But I also think that there's a lot of rewards and people, like, you know, giving you the feedback that would either take you years to maybe figure out, or you're just like not sure. And yeah, it does feel really cringy, like talking to yourself on your camera, like, you know, and sharing stories and like ideas. But like, that's what makes us all connected. It's the ideas. It's the fact that you like something that somebody else likes, or maybe you don't like anything else somebody else likes. And that also could be interesting for somebody to ask you questions. But I think that's like really the place to start. It's like, can you put out enough content to get people to ask you questions? Mm-hmm. That's when you know that you've like made enough content, you know?
Yeah, it's, I know, the whole concept of creating more content, it really does feel like a never-ending marathon at points. But let's talk about that beginning step of content creation, because sometimes that first step really is the hardest step. So when people come to you, and I'm sure you've had these conversations, because I know I've had them, where they come to you and they say, hey, I want to create videos, but I don't know where to start. Where do you advise people to usually look towards as they're getting ready to start their social media journey?
Reddit.
I think that might be the first time in my life where someone has unironically suggested Reddit as the place to go.
Let me explain. Reddit is still pure internet because everyone's anonymous. There's a topic and you have to stay on topic or the moderator will ban you.
Yep.
So you get some real hidden gems. You get really into the minds of the people because they can say whatever. It's Reddit. But that is a good place to start because a lot of people do share or overshare quite a bit about their problems.
Often.
So
often.
You could start there, or you could start with your favorite book if you're more of a reader, which, you know, the table of contents is a great structure of how you present an idea. Mm. So you can pick. You can start with the chaos of Reddit and piece it together, or pick your top favorite books or your top like industry books, and you give your opinion on chapter by chapter or topic by topic, or just kind of like have these five books open and kind of like braille like where you want to start. And that oftentimes can be a great place to get started to organize your ideas. Like, you have to start with writing. Like, I know we're talking on camera, but like, this all came from writing. This came from years of journaling. This came from years of researching, reading, being on Reddit. You know, it all had to be like written down so that you could learn it, but two, know it enough to teach it to somebody. And I think that's kind of where, if you're feeling stuck with like where to begin with content, start with teaching. It could be, you know, a life hack. It could be how to use something you bought on Amazon. Get comfortable with teaching, because that is what I do as a consultant. I'm teaching people. I can't say like, oh yeah, I know this. Like, no, I'm still learning. Like, the internet can change. The internet could go out. Like, anything could happen where it's like, it's great to have good social media. Yet what if the internet, what if you lose that account? You know, that happens quite a bit. People lose that account. What's the backup? How are you going to make the, you know, cash machine flow, you know? So I think it's good to feel comfortable with speaking on camera, feel good with like making content. But if marketing and running a successful online business is like the goal, learn one part of it, but learn it so that it can build the next thing, or like read both books at the same time, because there is no like, oh yeah, when I get the social media going, I'm going to move on to email marketing. No, you need to build both. And that's kind of like a lot to be like, oh, that's like turning on the fire hose of the internet to be like, yeah, you got to like build everything all at once. Mm. But I mean, if you are really good at writing, write on a newsletter, capture those emails and talk to people who sign up, because that's going to give you more ideas of stuff to write. If you're making, if you're writing your scripts before you're recording your reels, make that a social media post. Mm. But I think a lot of people will jump straight into turn on the camera, make the video, talk, and like not know what to say, don't have like a clear like idea. If you're trying to get started with content, treat like, you know, this month as like your term paper. You know, we all wrote papers in school, and just figure out like, okay, if, you know, the next month is a paper that you're writing, what's your outline? What are you going to dive into week by week? And start with that sort of like writing author mentality of like, all right, I'm going to take people through a journey this next month, but like day one, week one, I know where it's going to go the next 4 weeks. And there's going to be feedback that I get along the way that's going to help me improve it. And then once you're done with that outline that first month and you got the feedback, you got the comments, or maybe nobody looked at anything of your content, go ask a friend to look at your content to give you some feedback. But more importantly, that next month, you're going to just build on that until finally, after 12 times of saying the same thing, because that really is the internet. When you make content, you're saying the same thing multiple ways to sell the business or sell the service. You will probably have done a lot better month one. I should say month three will probably be a lot better than month one. And I think that's something that too many times do people change before it starts working, or they don't give it enough feedback. They just like, oh, I'm terrible at this. This isn't going to work. I'm going to give it up. I'm like, you haven't even, it's like you're competing against people who've been online for like 5 years, maybe 10, if they were like .com or like even earlier, who knows? But it's like, you got to remember that there are professionals online, you know, like you got to like put it in perspective that it's like, they probably have been doing this offline or online much longer than you have. So it's not like a diss on like, oh, you're never going to get better. It's just like, you got to like put that in perspective. Like, you know, they've been training and figuring this out maybe a little bit longer than you have, and you're just coming in. But that doesn't mean that there isn't room for you. It's just like, okay, now you have to start from where they were at and like, you know, learn all the things that come into having a voice online, a brand, you know, being able to communicate what you're trying to talk about, like all these things that, you know, it really makes me not take for granted people's abilities to speak on camera and like convey and move people. Like, I love TED Talks, like for that reason, like people really get on stage and they're like, man, that motivated me. Like, that is an amazing skill. Let's acknowledge that's a very unique skill that person built. So
I remember it was an odd story, and it comes back to what we were just talking about there, but it was Neil Gaiman, who I know is not in a well-liked light at the moment after some allegations came out. But I remember when he was working on American Gods, which was one of his more popular books, he didn't have anything set aside for it. He didn't really have any ideas for it, but he was talking to his publisher and they had the name. The name was a really good name and they liked it. Wasn't sure what the story was going to be. And the publisher said, before you start writing, let me make some cover art for you. And Neil Gaiman was something to the effect of, well, it's not usual. Usually you make the cover art afterwards because it's got to be about the story. And the other guy's like, give me a second. We're doing something different here. And so he comes back a few weeks later. He's got a book cover. And it's this iconic one that's been on every issue of American Gods. And it's of like this lone tree in the storm or whatever it was. And Neil Gaiman was like, I see what you mean. He takes it, puts it on his wall. And then as he's writing, he's always got that image that he's looking towards. A few years later, I remember I was listening to another fellow and he had a great point when it came to social media first strategies for businesses, especially those that have such an important visual component where like you have to be on YouTube. They said like, hey, you can do a lot of brainstorming and figure out what you think your audience wants. And maybe you're even right, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're making something that you would be interested in as the producer. And one of the things you got to remember is that when you're selling someone a steak, you're not selling them the stovetop. You're not selling them the iron that you're using. You're selling them the sound of the steak, the idea of what it's going to taste like. And he said, start with a thumbnail. Make a really good thumbnail. Make a really good title. Make sure that that is interesting. And then once you have found a good thumbnail and a good title, then make a video that corresponds to it, because then you have something that's going to work.
So true. The thumbnail and title is like a whole study. Mm-hmm. And it really does make someone click on it, which is amazing. But holding like, you know, their attention and like hooking them back in, all of that is just a skill that someone needs to develop over time. And I think that's a very interesting thing on like starting with the vision. Like, I don't know if like Pinterest boards help people, or like mood boarding, or like actually cutting it out. But really think of, like, you know, your reason why you're getting online to learn the skill or to make content, and write it down, print it out. If it's you want to get better at speaking in front of people, or you want to, you know, write a book or do a TED talk, or just feel like you can talk to anyone that you meet, like, really make that a visual, make that a mood board, and, like, see it every day when you're just like, this isn't working, or I really need this video to, like, go viral. Like, remind yourself, like, why you got started, because 100 days into this, you're going to be like, is this working? Or, like, has this changed my life yet? And it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, you don't know. And sometimes really being yourself, I know that's, like, so cheesy to say, but it's so true at the same time. Being yourself could be the thing to work. Yet getting over the fear of being yourself is also the other part. So I think a lot of times it's like, you can get on the internet and do whatever. Now, if you have a goal of, like, oh, I'm trying to, like, you know, build a business or build a brand, there are some, I would say there's some rules, but not laws, meaning that there's some basic things you need, but there's not, like, it's not like, oh, if you don't have it, it's not going to work. It's really just, it may be a steeper climb because it's, like, entirely new. But I do think that spending the time to research what makes some people have that it factor, or, like, the watch, like, why you watch them. Like, look at your YouTube history. Like, why do you watch some of the YouTubers that you watch? Or, like, why do you consume some of the content or the TV shows that you watch? Like, there has to be a character in that visual that you can kind of, like, see, like, okay, I see how they, like, prompt a joke, or how they, or the setting that they're in. Like, is it at a friend's house, on a couch? Is it in a busy street? Like, that all takes into factor of, like, building this world. And I think a lot of times what people are trying to do when they get hung up on, like, oh, I don't have the right lighting, or I'm not, you know, in a cool house or anything, a lot of that's just world building. And that you can hire, you can go and travel, you can do that later. But the real, like, essence of making content is, like, you know, can you hold people's attention? Can you convey an emotion and put it into words so that people actually care? Like, that's something that is so important of the whole point of making content. Whole point of, like, talking with people is, like, can you share a story or experience and it actually leaves that impact, or has them have the feeling that you want to be conveying, you know? And I think a lot of people are starting to see how that level of openness is changing other people's lives, and it's out there for everyone in a sense. Like, yeah, if you want to go overshare and be on social media and you can't delete that, go for it, you know?
Lives but forever.
If that's not your thing, like, I totally get it, but it's like, it's not the end of the world if you're not like that other creator, or if you're not like that other business owner. And I think that we all have to, like, sort of understand that journey of, like, okay, how much am I going to share to get, you know, the reward of being the most valuable in the room? And I think that's where a lot of people can start with, is, like, just be valuable, like, share an experience or share what you know, or, like, share something that is very common knowledge, but from your perspective, and, like, own it, you know?
So, production question, and then we'll probably close this out. But we talked about how oftentimes in the year of our Lord, 2025, an iPhone is pretty good to start with.
Yeah.
They, what was it, 28 years later, movie that just came out as of filming this right now. I think that was all filmed on iPhone.
Yeah.
Crazy cool. Besides your phone, what kind of equipment should people look towards if they want to do their social media? They want to take it a bit more seriously, but they don't have the resources to bring in a consultant or a video crew. What should they be looking at buying themselves or looking to rent?
True. So I'll start with, like, the everyday camera. If you even have, like, a second camera, like on a laptop or a webcam or a friend's camera you can borrow, having a second screen is really helpful, because I'll oftentimes keep my script or all my notes on my iPhone, and I need a second phone to film, simply because, like, you're going to have storage issues, or, like, you're going to run out of space on your phone.
Yep.
You also want something that can be set at eye level so that it looks like you're doing a thing, not just like the camera's shaky. It's like all over the place, which, you know, there's levels to it. There's, but I think you know, starting with something like a GoPro, an old iPhone, the DJI Osmo 3 is great. Like, people love that. Even dads buy it. So, I mean, it's like the camera of the year. Those are great, you know. The Osmo, not as affordable, yet, you know, it's a camera. Yeah. We got to invest somewhere. And then I think once you're kind of like at that stage of like, all right, you got another iPhone, you got another camera, it's good to go. That's where you're kind of under the, like, I would say anywhere between like 100 if you get like a GoPro like 5 or something. I think they're up to like 10 or 12, who knows. But like, you get an old GoPro, that'll keep you like under the 500 price point. So you're not getting into the interchangeable lenses. You're not, yeah, you're not like, you're not on that level yet.
Lenses are scary for folks.
Yeah, they are. That's an investment. Like, I think I've bought lenses and rented camera bodies at a time, at one point in time, because I was just like, I need the exact lens that I want to see, but I do not want to buy the camera body. But yeah, renting gear is totally fine. And that's something where you have to rent first and use it, and then actually use it when you're actually being paid to use it. Like, don't be like me. Do not rent the camera when you will need to work professionally with it. Do not. But rent it the weekend before, the day before even, okay? Just do not. Don't put that much pressure on yourself. Understand how to focus the lens with a new camera if you're renting it. I've been there. you know, I think cameras are tools, and like, you can start by using your iPhone, using a film camera even, to start training your eye to observe light. Lighting is just the main thing. Like, if you have good lighting and good audio, you are set. You're a creator now. So once you kind of master those things, like, sky's the limit. Like, you can buy the fanciest camera, you can buy the smallest camera, you can buy an action camera. At that point, you are, you know, you're speaking well in front of the camera, you understand lighting, you know how to get the shots that work for you. I think that's important. And then maybe pick up like a screenplay book, like, understand how to write your screenplay of like, you know, interior shots, exterior shots, like camera movements, like really observe like good movies, you know, understand like how movies are shot, and that can be really good to kind of train your eye on that thing. But yeah, I think another great book to have is like Building a Story Brand. I think that's like a classic.
I've heard that one.
Personal
before.
Brand building book, like super easy to understand. You can watch maybe a YouTube channel or watch this Donald Miller talk about like his process. Those are great. But there's like so many YouTube videos now on like scripting formulas that are, you know, helping you get better at it. But yeah, I mean, if I could, if you're trying to like beef up your content or anything, just use a second camera, understand your lighting, and then like maybe get like a book on like how to actually organize yourself before you shoot, because that will take you more time to figure out what you shot if you do not take notes.
Can you give us one critical must never forget tip when it comes to lighting?
Oof. I feel like you would know more about lighting than I do. I'm still discovering that. I guess the bigger the light you can afford, the better. Because that's going to give you the softest glow to like not be like in the shadows, you know, unless you're going for like dramatic lighting. But yeah, I would definitely say like get a light that plugs into the wall. The batteries are great, but when you're just getting started, you will be trying to figure that stuff out for a while. So don't let the battery dying every 30 minutes like stop you from making content. So yeah, just buy the most professional thing you can afford at the time, because it is worth it. You will get better at lighting, you will get fancier gear, but I should say invest in the lighting, and you can rent everything once again. Like, you don't have to buy the Amron D lights like straight off the block. Like, you can rent those things. Like, that's probably my go-to light. Like, great light, super handy, such a workhorse. You can put it on a portable battery if you need to. But yeah, like, in like really like invest in the lighting, because once again, you can have a whole studio set up in a bedroom. Like, it doesn't need to be like a whole studio. It just needs to be well lit, and like, you need a good mic. But yeah, I mean, I think I started with like the iPhone little one piece earpiece microphone.
Oh,
probably
sure.
The other one didn't even work, but that mic still did, and just sat in front of a big window. Like, that's really it. Like you just have to start, just start doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. There were two things that I remember. One of which, and this was, I learned this years ago, I wasn't even looking at video production at the time, but it was that people are actually willing to put up with a lot when it comes to visual fidelity. You can bring that really low, but if you have poor audio, that is an affront to the viewer. That turns them off so fast, they will swipe before you even get the chance to say anything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if Vine crawled so we can now walk, Vine just really showed everybody that, oh, you can shoot it on the Coolpix camera,
yeah,
and it's fine, you know, but the audio was great. Like, you know, but I think that's, you know, I want people to have fun making content. So I don't want the camera to make you feel like a less than creator simply because you're not out there buying the most expensive gear. Like, you will get there if you stick to this long enough, or somebody will send you a camera at that point. That's everybody's dream. Just have stuff sent to them. But I think the biggest thing is like really understanding your tools and pushing them to the limits. And like, you can do a lot with editing and color grading, like a lot. And now that, I think Blackmagic has like the iPhone app now.
Yep.
It's amazing. I've always wanted the Blackmagic Ursa Mini 4K, yet I think I might just get another iPhone and rock and roll with that app, because it does exactly the same thing that I would like to do with a professional cinematography camera. Yet I'm not filming commercials. I'm making videos on iPhone and putting them on social media. That is my lane. I like doing social media content. Yes, I would love to film a short film feature. Like, I would love to do like the cinematography for a brand and like fashion or CPG, anything like that. But it's like, you know, for now, I'm really content with like, how do I push the capabilities of editing, color grading, and iPhone cinematography as much as I can? Because that's the tool that I have. That's the most relatable thing. If I'm teaching people, if I'm like, I'm for the people, I'm trying to like get more people making content, sharing their stories, I need to be relatable. Yeah. Having, you know, the studio, it has its time and place. Like, you know, I should say, if I want to build like a at-home studio or go to a podcasting studio to film stuff, like, you know, I'll come here to you. but it's like, I do think that, especially if you're building a personal brand, it's good to have a good mix of both. And like investing in that, or understanding what you need on set, is also really critical if you are hiring someone. Like,
yes,
like definitely understand a few things about setting a setup, because if you're hiring on someone to do it, yes, you want them to take a full responsibility on it. Yet I can also spot when there's some things that you may not need. And that is something where I'm like, I want creatives to be creative. I will definitely have like, yes, do whatever. But when it comes down to like getting the shots and getting the editing, that is the main thing. You can have it be beautifully shot, but if it does not get edited to where it retains and actually hits your goal, what's the point? You know, you're still gonna have to be back in the studio doing this all over again. So, you know, spend that time to get organized before getting in the studio.
And it really should be stressed that there's a lot of stuff that's become accessible now for regular folks. And like, yeah, you know what? If you got an office studio, cause you got to put out some videos every now and then, you can get a key light, and that's all you need.
Yeah.
Key light does not have to be expensive. I know like our big lights right here that the cameras can't see. These are both like just the light itself, not the attachments that actually funnel the light, like $600 each.
Yeah.
Most people don't need that.
Newer.
They don't need four other
new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New.
You don't need all that. You don't need all that getting started. Like, one, I think like newer is such a great brand, or Small Rig.
Oh yeah.
Those brands, like, you can buy the whole setup just with that same brand. And like, I think I got a lot of stuff off Facebook Marketplace. Like, it doesn't have to be like, especially when you're first getting your setup started, buy used or gently used, because like, you don't know, and you're gonna like return and cycle through so much gear before you finally get to your setup. And that's honestly how I got to like using the iPhone. I went through so many other like cameras, like production sets, like being on set watching other directors like do their thing, and just kind of realized where it's like, I really like filming and shooting with the iPhone because I like the apps. I like being able to work with companies that use apps for like editing, color grading. And so it's like, because that's the kind of content that I'm talking about and educating people on, I want to get like the best that I can. Like, I want to be like, just understand like how to get the shot with the camera that's in my hand.
Yeah.
And I think that is impressive, because you know, there are some limits with the iPhone that, you know, I would love for it to have like a flash, external flash, you know, like that's probably the one thing about the iPhone that I'm like, yeah, I love the iPhone, yet I'm still going to go to my, you know, my Sony or my Nikon or Pentax because I like a flash. I love that, you know, flash photography, or like if I'm shooting in a studio or if I'm doing food, it's like I do need like the right gear for the right, you know, the right subject, you know.
But it's, I'll close with this anecdote and then we'll close this episode out. But I remember back when we first started, we had a project, and I remember getting back my footage and I was not happy with it. And it was a lot of dark, very natural lighting. And so it had a particular look, but I remember trying to bring out as much as I could into what was clearly visible. And we had all this graininess. And at the time, I didn't really understand what that was at the time. And I remember doing some research. It's like, okay, so things like my ISO is too high, which I was still learning what ISO was. Most people don't need to know what it is. It's a pretty technical thing. But then I got to the point where it's like, okay, well, how do I solve this problem? Oh, my natural step is to upgrade my camera to a $6,000 Sony FX6. That is my answer. And so I remember saving up. I was watching eBay. I was watching Facebook Marketplace, looking at places outside of the state to drive out to get these cameras, because that's the only way I could figure it out. And then something hit me. Well, actually, more so, my wife questioned me, saying, are you sure that's what we need to do? And so, as all wise men do, they listen to their wife, and I started doing some better research. And then I found something. I discovered that I never knew was possible with cameras. I could shoot in what's called log footage. If you don't know what log footage is, all aspiring filmmakers, figure it out. It will save your life, son of a gun. But learn your equipment and learn what you can do with a little, then expand.
Exactly. And that's one reason why I like the iPhone, is that they're getting hip to the creator economy, is that they're now including log footage in there. And you take that out and you color grade it, like it looks just as similar to something you would get on a professional grade camera, but now it's accessible to anyone.
Yeah.
And you still got to put in the work to get it to that level.
Oh, yeah. You got to learn color grading. Yeah. That is a real skill.
Yes, that is. That's art. Like, yes, that is a whole level of art. But I do think, like, you know, I definitely could be the same. I had the same thing too, where it's like, oh, if I just, that next camera, I'll charge more. That next camera, I'll, you know, get that. But I really have to start to think that there's the value in being able to show up somewhere and capture a story. That's a skill. So don't discount that. And the biggest thing is that once you really understand the basics, so I was a film photographer for like many years. And that, I did that because I trained my eye. And that really helped me to have the constraint of that a roll of film, I think, only has like maybe 15 to 30 exposures.
It's not much.
Like, it's not much.
Yeah.
And so it's like every shot count. And then in addition to that, I had to also like give those to clients, or like give those to a brand. Yeah. So it really trained my eye in that I think I had that film camera every night. I went out and just like filmed anything. Like, I was like either out with my friends or out getting food. Like, it's just like I use that camera to the maximum that I felt comfortable enough to get the shot or know exactly, you know, what I was working with. And I think that's like really essential to anything that you use. Like, use it enough to where you're just comfortable, that it just feels natural and like getting the shot. And like, I definitely can look at like my early film photography or my early behind the scenes, like type of like content I was doing. It's like the stuff that, you know, after I started using that camera a lot, it was like night and day. Like, I think at that point, that's when I should say, I never really like set out to be a photographer. It was more just like, I'm very outgoing. I like to hang out. I was documenting just like the people I was hanging out with. And, you know, I was just like, you know, that just became something that people were like, oh, you're good at photos. Like, come hang out with us here. But I think that's kind of like really fun, is that, you know, with the power of social media and like a camera, like, you really can like create your own adventure in life, which is like amazing. But I think a lot of it is like, I just kept learning more and more technical things about the camera and like what other people would do on set and like production and like, you know, just find people who were filming stuff and like go hang out and learn and like, you know, but I think the biggest thing is like, you know, investing in the right gear is really essential. And like, whether it's you buy the next iPhone or you buy a camera that you want to use or rent it, it's going to come down to like, how many hours can you put into practice and get really good at it? And like sometimes it's like, yeah, if you buy the most expensive camera and you're shooting with it all the time and it makes sense and is not just collecting dust, then I would say, yes, go for it. Upgrade, buy the camera, use it. But I mean, if you are being real with yourself and honest about how often do you anticipate using this camera, it's okay to rent it. And I think that's what kind of made me sell all my cameras at one point, because they were all just sitting. I think I used like maybe one or two for production stuff. But I sold them with the intent that I want someone who wants to shoot with these cameras to buy them and to afford them and to use them, and like, don't let them sit. Like honestly, pick up the camera, go find any subject or go meet people and like tell stories, find stories, make them up yourself if you have to. Like that's the whole, you know, skill that is a lifetime of developing.
Well, Alex, this has been a good episode. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a great conversation.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn at Alex Hutchie and on YouTube as Homestead Hutch.
All right. Well, folks, I hope that you've enjoyed this episode, because I know I sure have, because we've gone long.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, take care and be well, folks. See you around.